بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A German American woman studied something about Islam, got attracted and accepted Islam. Islam is true, it's the word of Allah Ta'ala, it must have an effect, it will have the effect. We don't need to forge ways, fabricate ways to promote Islam. Making up and fabricating may be useful for things that are fabricated. Religions that are distorted, cancelled, expired. So you need some fabricated ways to promote them. But the thing that is true, it is the word of Allah Ta'ala. It needs no forgery, no fabrication, no distortion. All it needs is to do it in the right way. So we don't need to have mixed gatherings to promote Islam. We don't need to be posing for photographs to promote Islam. We don't need to appear on the screens. Do it. It's the word of Allah Ta'ala. And do it like Allah Pak wants you to do it. Say for example, we forged up ways, fabricated, and then we found results in that. That result is not going to be valid in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, because you discarded the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the result that you've got is not going to be valid in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. So do it, but do it in full conformity, consistent with His teaching. Then that is valid. Because these propositions were made to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you look at the reasons for revelation for the first opening verses of Surah Ahzab, it's identical. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ. They also, Kuffar of Quraysh, they sent a delegation, Abu Sufyan and Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. So the proposal they made to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, you don't speak out against our religion, and we won't speak out against your religion, and you live in harmony. You can live in Makkah Mukarramah or wherever you want to live, and there will be total harmony. All we need you to do is don't speak out against our religion. That's all we need to do. So the culture of Kuffar is the same. What was then is now as well. The culture hasn't changed. The culture is وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُونَ سَوَاءً. Their culture is that be like us, so we will be on the same platform, be on a common platform. وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا. So that's the whole idea, that's the goal, that be like us. And we are saying that if we want to be like you, it will be totally lost. It will be perished. There will be destruction here. There will be destruction after death as well. So if the doctor sees that people are taking a drug and they don't seem to be quitting the habit, then is it right for the doctor to say, alright, that this drug that they are taking, now that is also a type of a medication? Is it right for the doctor to say that? It's wrong for him. He may say it, and people may take to him and say, see, this doctor is so cool. He's not a radical. He's so relaxed in his ways. It's easy to work with him. So people may say that, but he's opening the door to disaster for his people. You know it. Any person that is in that line, they will know that he's opening up a door to disaster. Right? So Allah Pak says in the very opening verse, don't listen to these kafirs. Finish. Cut and dry. Don't listen to them. So now, if you compare this with this interfaith culture, it's exactly the same. There's not an iota of difference. Interfaith also saying, let's be on the same line. And in this interfaith conference, you will not say anything against us. And we will not say anything that's against you. Exactly what this Kuffar said 1400 years ago, it's a repetition. And what's the goal? The goal is, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا. They want you to be like them. So, can't they see this? Alright, we tried our ways, right? We tried our ways, and we didn't see it working, because we were always meeting up with some opposition. Alright, can't we, just for some years now, say, at least 200 years, they tried to push their luck. Alright, for the next, not 200 years, 100 years at least, let's try and push the Islamic culture properly, correctly. So, that's also an option. One option was that we come onto the same page. The other option is, alright, you all come onto our page. This, you're going to meet up with problems all the time. So, when you're seeing that you're meeting up with problems, then come on our way, and we'll not fight with you any longer. What you are saying us, what proposal, we are giving the same proposal, just become like us, we won't have any problems. So, are they prepared for that? So then, that's the one side of the thing. When you come like us, see, in that interfaith, you must be like us. And we are saying that come like us. We won't fight with you. You are prepared to make the change. Because you are saying that we are very accommodating. We can accommodate everything, gender equality, LG, everything. Right? And you are meeting up with oppositions. Now, the trunk, open, you know, running up for the elections, and he's speaking out against LG and all that. Speaking out against it. But now that was just running up to the election. Now that he's on, now it's nice to see what he's going to be saying now. But running up was saying something else. So that culture is just to appease the person to gain his support. After I gain the support, then you let the person fly kite. It's alright. Khab ki ta'bir, khab sharminda ta'bir. Siyasi wade, khab sharminda tabir. It's just a political promise, nothing more than that. And the political promise is just to deceive. So this is also a political stroke, just to deceive the Muslim, that we're all on the one line, same line, so that you come onto our side. So this is not going to happen, and it never happened. So now, why don't you swap it the other way around? That come on to our side, and we will have no problem, we have no opposition. Because when you spoke about the clash of civilization, then the clash was with us. And now you want us to come on to your side. Now we say, alright, we don't have any clashes, and you come on to our side. What is good for the goose is good for the gander. If it's good for you, then it's good for us also. You don't want it, then let's happen. Let's do it this way. So we're talking about this German girl, you know, very highly qualified, top salary, right? America now, and perhaps she's earning about $30,000, right? So $30,000 equated to rands, about 600,000 rands, she's earning, and Islam just struck her heart. And I say, for Islam, to promote Islam, you don't need to use fabricated ways. No distortion, no forgery, no fabrication, nothing. Just do it in the way Rasulullah Pakistan asked you to do it. No addition, no commission. Just that way. And you see the dynamic effect it will have. Whether in America, whether in Fiji Islands, whether in England, whether in South Africa, north, south, wherever. But just apply that way. And see the effect it will have. So when she read up on Islam, so now she said, I want to become a Muslim. So she took the Shahadat and she accepted Islam. Now, the word of Allah Ta'ala is the word of the kings, the king of the kings. When it's the word of the king of the kings, then it will have a royal effect. It won't have a material, transitory effect. It will have a royal effect. But then, that iman needs to be true. That iman cannot be based on prejudice, and your faith in Allah Ta'ala cannot be based upon your family relationship. That what my family is going to say, what my friends are going to say, and what Fulan is going to say, and what he's going to say. And we go on that line, we mix up things. So he's saying this thing here, and he's saying this. But he's my family now, and what do I do? But are you faithful to Allah Ta'ala, or your allegiance lies with your family? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, when he announces Islam, his mother says that I'm going on to a hunger strike. And I'll die, and you will get the stigma against your name, that you were the cause for my death. So when Sa'd radiyallahu anhu heard about this, so he went up to his mother and said, Ma, even if you have 100 lives, and I can see the pain that you go through in giving up your life, you can forget me giving up Islam. Now you want to continue with your hunger strike, or you want to discontinue that's left to you. So you see this line here, that once you want Allah Ta'ala, just look at what Allah Pak wants. Then leave the family, you don't have to fight with someone, and you don't have to start waging war with someone, but you have to be on the same page with Allah Ta'ala. Then what Allah Ta'ala will bless you with, if at any given time you are with Allah Ta'ala, what Allah Pak wants. Because now these ties are very, very important for us. Sometimes it's the wife, sometimes the son is saying something, sometimes the siblings are saying something, sometimes the family is saying something. So it is an important thing. But now, where do we draw the line? There must be a point where we draw the line, right? So where it goes against the law of Allah Ta'ala, we say, no, now here we draw the line. We will not be pairing up with you. This is the line. And beyond this, we are not going to be with you. Right? But then that person needs to see that in all aspects, he is with Allah Ta'ala. Not only in the things that are convenient to him, then he is on the line of Allah Ta'ala. When it's not convenient, then he's taking another line. It's not a path of convenience. مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. So there are some people whose faith was based on convenience. فَإِنَ صَابَهُ خَيْرًا خَيْرٌ إِطْمَأَنَّ. So they saw good, they carried on. But they saw something coming against them, then they broke away. انقلبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They have failed both ways. Here and the next life they have failed. So your allegiance, your loyalty with Allah Ta'ala at any given time. Moreover, in this days that we are going through, so Allah Ta'ala is going to see now, where is your allegiance? Now, when everybody is in a relaxed frame of mind, then they have relaxed deen as well. So now, let us be relaxed, let us chill down, let us prepare for the next year. Now, we did enough for this year, right? Now, let's take a break, let's relax, let's refresh in, and come back. So, when we say, let's relax, let's chill down, what do you mean? Let us relax the laws of Allah Ta'ala, let's chill down, let us not be too hard, says, let's have some fun. And the fun means, even though if he's missing a namaz, even though it's mixing up with the woman, even though it is standing and snapping with the woman, so right now, let's relax. We can't be radicals. So that's the understanding of, let us be relaxed. Let us relax this thing here. So there are some things that you can't relax. For one moment, you can't relax. So, you want to be relaxed now, alright? So, we have situations where men had class friends, right? Girl class friends they had, or acquaintances, right? Now they are at the age of 70, and they can't forget those aunties. Yeah? 70 and plus, right? But they can't forget those childhood memories, the remnants that. And think about, hey, we had this girl here. Just let us make her only Eid Mubarak, you know, happy birthday. But by dil ko pucho, what is talking here? Is your iman talking, or is your sensual pleasure? You know now, you make salam and you feel some sensual pleasure, some relaxation. Now imagine you are punching those messages, you are printing it out, and Malakul Maut had to just come and take a ruh. And then your wife and children saw, hey, our father, the last moment, this is what he did. Was he faithful to us? And the wife and the children also, they are cursed sometimes. Because they are worried about the man being faithful to them. If you are not faithful to Allah, it's alright. But they must not be unfaithful to us. So they came above Allah Ta'ala. They come above Allah Ta'ala. So they want that position, they want that recognition. That we come first and then the rest. Whereas we are saying that the faith first, the faith, the allegiance first in line, Allah Ta'ala, His Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, His Mubarak ways, and thereafter the family, children, etc. thereafter. But that is the sequence. You can't alter that sequence. Now for a moment, say let us relax. And your wife wants to know, she had some friend in the school days, and just that one day, let's go and dance. Is it on? But why are you a radical? Why can't you chill down? Why can't you? So this whole religion, the whole deen, they're getting it mixed up. See, in this Surah Ahzab, the last verse, understand it well to appreciate the message. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about passing on the trust. Aradna al-amana. He passed on the trust. He offered it to the heavens, skies. So they all asked, what are we supposed to be doing? And if we accomplish, then what? And if we fail to accomplish, then what? So when you're writing an exam, then that's what you want to know, alright? If I get through, then what? And if I fail, then what? So that's the question that comes in for any trial that you go through. I'm going for this trial. When you get through, then you eligible for this job. You don't get through, then you're not eligible for this job. So the trial is an important thing, very important thing. So the trial here is about the trust. So then what is the trust? So they ask, what is the trust? And if we get through, then what? And if we can't get through, then what? So the offer is being made to the heavens, to the earth. Allah gave them that level of understanding where they could understand things in perspective. So Allah says there's going to be some commands and there's going to be some prohibitions. You have to see that you execute the commands and restrain from the prohibitions. If you get through, you will gain my proximity, you will get my love, you will get a tremendous reward. You will be nearest to me. And if you fail, then you will be punished. So they excuse themselves. Saying, you know, Allah, you're all right now, and we don't cross lines, because we know what can happen. Right? So, it wasn't a total defiance. When Allah commanded the Malaika, and Iblis was part of the contingent, so to bow down, and Iblis blankly refused, in defiance. And the Malaika, they excused themselves, they didn't defy. They excuse themselves, said, we won't manage this. the responsibility is too much. So it wasn't a defiance. It was expressing the inability. So you won't manage this year. And Shaitan, when he did it in defiance. So can you see that defiance is something else? And excusing yourself, being incapable, and moreover, when Allah Pak has given you a choice to accept it or to excuse yourself. So here there was no exception, all must do it. And here, it's just an offer. You want to, then you may accept it. They excuse themselves. They said, well, we can't. Ashfaq Ramina, being afraid of it, they said, well, we excuse ourselves. And now, as we stand, we're moving well, and we don't want to have any problems. But Hazrat Insan, when he was offered, Hamalahal Insan. So Insan went forward and he accepted this. Now, what was the difference between man and the rest of the creation? The difference with man was, Allah Ta'ala had planted the chip of love into him very deep. So his love for Allah Ta'ala was too much. Ashaddu hubban lillah. And when you are really in love, then nothing seems to be impossible. I just want to get to the beloved, right? That's the dream. I want to get to the beloved. And you know, the feelings of love, what he does. What he does. Can you reason after that? Can you understand things after that? Why? Now you are drunken in love. When you're drunken in love, then you don't do anything. So man was drunken in love with Allah Ta'ala. And in the state of drunkenness, he said, I'm taking it on. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. See, he's taken it on in the state of drunkenness. When he's drunken with love. So he said, he thought to himself, you know, that Allah Ta'ala is so loving and so caring. And as it is now, we are conversing with Allah Ta'ala, the level of happiness that we get just talking to the beloved so much. And then Allah Ta'ala is going to post us to positions closest to Him. Then what? Now we're enjoying the conversation with Allah Ta'ala, the amount of happiness that we get, the enjoyment, the fulfillment, the satisfaction that we get. How great it is, right? You know, a small, little, insignificant way to understand this. Imagine, right, a person had some type of a haram relationship with a girl for the first time. And it was difficult, but somehow it just happened. So how was the feeling at that time? How was the feeling? And if she, somehow she presses you then, and then you'll say, a little bit harder. Won't you say that? Because you know what love does. Now outwardly that pressing you seems to be difficult. Held you and pressing you is difficult. But what's the feeling that runs in your heart, in your mind at that time? A little bit harder and better. Put a little bit more marcha, huh? Won't you say that? So now, insan went through that. See that emotional state. And in that spirit of love, he reached out. Hamalah al-insan. So therefore Allah says, yato jahil ta, zalim jahil ta. Our Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi, when he explained this verse once, so I was in the majlis, alhamdulillah. He says, why did Allah says zalim or jahil? He says, because when you say he's zalim and jahil, he had the ability of the opposite. He had the ability to be a very just and kind person. Right? He had the ability of being a very, very understanding and educated person. Zaluman jahula. Right? Because you will not say that this pillar is a zalim and a jahil. Will you say? Why? It doesn't have the ability to show justice or to acquire knowledge. Right? All people are acquiring knowledge, but this thing will remain a jahil. Right? Can you see that? Although it's in the company of ulama and everybody all the time, but will it ever become an alim? Will it ever become an adil? Can't become adil, can't become alim, because it doesn't have the property. So you have the property of being a zalim, so you have the property to become an adil. You have the property to be a jahil, so you can be an alim one day as well. Not just an alim, but an ulama, jahula, mubalagha, superlative degree. So man reached out and he accepted this. He understood what it's all about. But then He said, Allah Pak has been so kind to me. It's going to be embarrassing that when he's making this offer, and I just turn this offer. Like I say, now again, just put yourself into a girlfriend relationship, and she made an offer to you. Alright, you love me, and manage this business for myself, just for 1 month. You say 10 years, won't you say that? I'll give you the perks, she's saying, I'll give you the perks also, but manage the business. Then, won't you say, I'll... So now, Allah Pak is giving you that love. When he's giving you that love, he says, now accept this. He went out and he accepted it. So, لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. Now this verse is quite important for us to understand. So what's going to be the consequences? La is for, to show the anjam, to show the consequence. What's going to be the consequence? So there'll be three categories of people. So one is the category of people that will be faithful to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala will favor them. وَيْتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلْمِينَ. So one is those that are faithful, to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala will favor them. You've been faithful, so we'll favor you. We know that there may be some minor discrepancies, but we will overlook all that. بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبٌ غَفُورٌ. Right? Fertile, beautiful land, and a Rabb that is most forgiving. Small discrepancies, all that, we'll overlook, don't worry about it. We know you are human, we made you, you'll have some problems, so we'll forgive you. So that will be one class that remained faithful to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll favor you. So when there's an overwhelming feeling of the wrongs that I've done in the past, right? Then that overwhelming feeling must be covered with tawbah, istighfar, and then don't deliberately reminisce. Because then this will interrupt the relationship of love. Imagine, both of you were friends, right? You had a bust up, and you're patched up again, right? Now you're patched up and you're friends again. And now after you're being friends, and you reminisce the past, yeah, you know what you did that day? What will happen? That will interrupt the relationship. Now, don't deliberately talk about it. Now, we think that it's an act of righteousness and piety to deliberately think about the wrong of the past. No, that's not a... In most cases, then this can interrupt the relationship. But, in the event this type of thoughts pass the mind, then ask Allah, ask forgiveness. Allah, save me. Whatever happened in the past, happened, Allah, you forgive me. Right? I've been doing this, I did this, and this is... Flashing back, I have flashbacks of the past. But I know Allah Ta'ala, you are most forgiving, you will forgive me. So Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. One is we don't go close to that wrong. And number two, if we do have a flashback, then we're asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. That's all Allah Ta'ala wants. Don't interrupt the love relationship that you have with your Creator. You have a love relationship, maintain it and just grow it. See how you're going to enhance it. All the elements that are required to grow this up now. You deliberately bringing this, hey, but no, you know what you did was a stupid thing. You shouldn't have done such a thing. So I ask you, are you going to improve the relationship anyway? That's stupidity now to deliberately reminisce the past. If it was an act of virtue, then look at the Sahaba Ikram. They were new in Islam, right? Most of them were new in Islam, right? But did they go and reminisce all the past? We did this and this and this and this. Did they reminisce the past? Made istighfar, tawbah, and over. Turn the leaf now. Move on. So they showed us what it is to have a positive approach. Not to be negative. Happened now, it happened, finished now. I make tawbah and move on. So one is that class that are faithful to Allah Ta'ala. Then when they are faithful to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will favor them as well. But that requires then you be with Allah Ta'ala then. See, this whole world has been designed with trials. It's going to be one trial, and then be another trial. If there's a Badr, then there's Uhud. If there's Uhud, then there's Khandaq. And if there's a Khandaq, then there's Fath Makkah. If that is on, then there's a thing like Tabuk. So, then there's Yamama, then there's Yarmouk. So, these trials will go on right till the end. There won't be any end to these trials. But in the trial, Allah Pak wants to see, how do you stand? Are you firmly standing with Allah Ta'ala? Or you're moving with the wind? Or you're moving with your emotions? You're moving with your own petty differences. How are you moving? يُتَحَمَّلُ الزَّرَرُ الْخَاسِ لِزَرَرِ الْعَامِ. Sometimes it may be a major disaster, and now you're trying to guard yourself, you tolerate the small disaster, right? Why? You want to save yourself from a major problem. So there are situations that will come up, it's a small disaster, and you'll just tolerate that. Why? Because you want to save yourself from a major problem. Major problem, you want to save yourself. Right? Don't you see now that they're asking you to slow the speed, right? To drop the speed. Now, you're supposed to be driving at, say, 150, and they ask you to drive at 30, right? So, you are going to tolerate this. Right? Why? Why are you tolerating this? Saving yourself from a major disaster. Now, say they didn't warn you to drop your seat. Right? And right at the end, you know, right at the end, where you were just seconds before the accident, and they warn you at that time, and you're driving at 150. Can you stop on time? Can't. So sometimes, there's a minor thing you have to tolerate to save yourself from a major thing. Now, these type of things are understood by people who have got that understanding, that level of understanding of deen. Now, look at Hudaybiyah, right? So, Abu Jandal is asked to go back to Makkah Mukarramah. But what a difficult scene to us. Man is on chains, he's being tortured on that side, and Rasulullah is allowing this, right? Can you understand the scene? Muslims are biting their teeth. How can this happen? How can this kuffar be so unrealistic? Can't they just make a consideration for one person? But Rasulullah is man of Allah Ta'ala. It's his command. But can you see now, this thing has to be tolerated to save yourself from a major disaster. Now, if this was not tolerated, what will happen? There's a breakout of war. And when there's a breakout of war, bi batni Makkah, right in Makkah Mukarramah. Right? And Rasulullah was trying his best to avoid any bloodshed in the soils of Makkah Mukarramah. So, right. In the meanwhile, he must have made dua for Abu Jandal, and very shortly thereafter, he escaped. Right? So, this side of the story, people don't know. This is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah is asked to just move on. Even the persons like Umar radiallahu anhu, they couldn't see this. And added to it, just as they returning from Hudaybiyah, then Allah Pak announces Fatham Mubina, a great victory. A Fatun here, is this a victory? We are asked to leave the soils of Makkah Mukarramah to Medina without accomplishing the sunnat of Umrah. Naam, yes it is. So thereafter we understood, definitely it was the Fatah. So sometimes a small trial, you have to tolerate it, right? I say everybody can't understand this. It is that person who's got that level of deeni understanding who can understand these type of things. The normal person, even a normal alim, can't understand these things. So they have that very, very superior understanding, and our duty is to listen to them. Are everyone to apply his mind? No, listen to me. Why? What's wrong? Why? What's wrong? They have a whole mix up of deen. They can understand. Right? Sayyid Khan Sahib, rahmatullah alayh. So the Jamaat work had just taken on, right? And Sayyid Khan Sahib, rahmatullah, was very close to Muhammad Ilyas Sahib. A lot of confidence. If a person, you make him up after he's been with you a year, 2 years, so you make the person, make out the person and his commitment. So at the beginning, if a Jamaat is sent, then a follow-up Jamaat is sent after him. To go and see now, are they maintaining the same line, or they have moved away from that line? So Mawla Sayyid Khan Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he was normally sent to go and do the follow-up, to go and see, alright, the Jamaat is sent to Lahore, so are they keeping on that line, or they have moved on? So these works that have been initiated by our Buzuganuddin Ulama-i Kiram, there's a lot of sight, there's a lot of vision, right? And it's not right for anybody to just come and condemn them, right? But we don't know what they're doing. They got every movement has got certain principles to work by, right? And obviously, every movement can't do every work. Like, for example, running a maktab, everybody can't do it. Jamaat work, everybody can't do it. Madrasa work, everybody can't do it. But all these works have to be done. Now imagine, if the maktab work isn't done, what will happen to the student? All come up like jahils, like animals that come up like. Right? And if there's no follow-up with the jamaat work, then what will happen? Then everybody is gone off. There's no support structure. Now to hold on to deen, is there any structure now? At an international, global level, is there any support structure to hold on to deen? There is a khankar effort, and we respect it, but it hasn't reached an international proportion. So this is like a khanka maktab level, right? It's a combination of a khanka and a maktab, because, see, it is a duty, it's a compulsory duty for every Muslim to learn the right beliefs, to get his actions, deeds right, right? To get his mu'amalat right, his dealings right, and to get his akhlaq right. Isn't it? Isn't this a compulsory requirement for every Muslim? Get your belief right, right? Get the ahkam right, faraz, wajib, sunnah, etc. Get your mu'amalat and dealings right, right? And get your akhlaq right. Isn't that a compulsory thing? So if the person can't acquire this at the maktab, because of his age now, then what do you say? He's going to fly kite. There's no, this haram. This jamaat work is haram. So now, there's no hope for this person. How must I go and acquire this? Because I can't find a maktab for people at my age. If I go into that maktab, then they won't allow me. Or the children make a mockery of me. So now, is there any structure for me to go and learn my deen? Right? At an international level. Now, a khanka you won't have everywhere. Some place you got it, some place you don't have it. But now, what do you do? How do you do it? How does the man correct his beliefs? How does the man correct the ahkam? He must have a teacher. He's going to read himself, he'll cause a confusion. Because now he's going to read himself, that one person is saying something, and the second person is saying something else, and the third person is saying something else. He got a maktab syllabus with pictures. He's got a maktab syllabus, boys and girls together, right? You've got textbooks and all type of things are being taught there. So now, if you don't have that jamaat work structured in the right way, in the formula of the elders, natija kya hoga? What's going to happen? I said, what's going to happen? It's going to be a whole lot of confusion. Now a youngster has been to school, right? Unfortunately, his thinking is gone off, because he's been learning about evolution. His behavior is wrong, because it's a mixed gathering that he is in university or school. Boys, girls, everybody mixed up, right? Now suddenly that realization comes to him that I need to do something to get myself on track. And then he doesn't find any structure, any support structure to take him on. What's going to happen? You're going to invite him towards despondency. There's no hope. But this is haram. See that? So these things that are required, like a maktab thing is a required thing. It's a compulsory thing. Jamaat thing is required. Because that adult doesn't have a structure to keep himself afloat. Now you're going to say haram, then how is he going to be getting his farais right, his beliefs, and how is he going to get it right? So if in these areas, if there's any wrong that comes in, right, if in these areas, in the jamaat or the maktab, right, there's some wrong that comes in, right? Like you got a maktab now, and you got an alim teaching big girls, no parda in between. So you won't say now that because this haram is taking place, that this maktab is haram. Can you say that? That maktab has to be done, but this has to be taken out. This has to be corrected. Now because of one place, they're doing it wrong. Now can you give a blanket ruling that all the maktabs are haram? Can you say that? But that has to carry on, and this people has to be corrected. Somehow you have to correct them, smash them down, correct them, and take them on. Otherwise, what's going to happen to your children after that? In a few days, they're all jahils. Eh? Someone is getting married to Mr. Chin Sami, and someone is getting married to Mrs. Billy. This will happen. Because they didn't have an Islamic support, no support. So now, when they didn't have a support, then they say, no, we marry for love. They actually say it, right? The jahils, they actually say it, that let not religion become a barrier in our love. So, religion mustn't be a barrier. Now, see how they'll go. So, won't there be a mix-up? there will be a whole confusion. So like that, maktab is a support structure for children. For grown up, in the jamaat is a support structure to keep the beliefs right, to keep the amal right, to keep the muamalat right. In that, you will tell them, right, that in masail, you will refer to ulama. They will say, we will not get into masail. Why? Why? Because now, we're getting so many jamaats coming out. Now, just now in this period here, we have about 70, 80 jamaats moving around, right? Now, every group, can they have a very, very qualified alim? They can't have it. So, they'll lay down the principles that if you've got any masla, then you refer to a reputable alim in your area, one that you have confidence, right? Right. Now, if they're going to start masail, right, then you got this person as a Shafi in your mazhab, in your jamaat, he's a Hanafi, he's a Salafi. Now, how are you going to get them onto the right? Can you get them onto the right? The only way you're going to tell them to come there is the alim that you have got confidence, you have got the trust, you have got the respect between you and Allah Ta'ala, you feel he's the right person, refer to him. Hasn't the person accomplished his faras? The person he felt that was right, there was no bias, he checked him out properly, correctly, and then he referred to him. He did what was required of him. Fas'alu ala dhikr, that was he did that. So you can't say now that what he's doing is haram. What was required, he's done. He's referred to an alim that's reputable, that's taqwa, he's got taqwa, he's got sound knowledge, he's referred to him. Now he's referred to him, he's accomplished the faras. When he's accomplished the faras now, if there was someone that's misguiding him, then that person is answerable. Because he reached the furthest that he could have reached. Is there anything further that he could have done? Is there anything further that he could have done? Couldn't anything further. So he did whatever was within his capacity, he's done that. After that, فَإِسْمُهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ أَفْتَىٰ, the one that has misguided him, that's the person responsible. Now this is a fine line, you see. And this is not carrying on from now. Al-Hasan Basri rahmatullahi is the Sayyid al-Tabi'in. Right? Muhammad ibn Sirin is his contemporary. Obviously, Hasan Basri has got a maqam. Muhammad ibn Sirin also has got a maqam. But obviously, Hasan Basri is the Sayyid al-Tabi'in, the head of all the Tabi'in. Both of them are attending a janazah namaz. So there was some mix-up there, perhaps mixed gathering. And Muhammad ibn Sirin, he took a U-turn, is going back. And Hasan Basri wants to know what happened. He said, no, it's wrong carrying on here, and I must abandon this. So Hasan Basri's reply was, that if you're going to be leaving out essentials of deen, then you will give an opportunity to these fasiqs and fajirs to distort your religion. So when it's an essential of deen and some wrong has crept up, then you will do that. You will do the faras, right? You will do that faras, but you will try and your best to correct this or bring it on. However you can, someone has got influence, someone has got might, someone has got intelligence, someone has got education. So in whichever way you can bring it onto the right, you will try your best to bring it onto the right. Then you won't abandon that faras. So like the janazah namaz was faraz, so ta'aleem is also faraz. Talabul ilmi faridatun. So either you get it at the madrasa, or you get it at the khanqa, or you get it at the maktab, or you get it in the jamaat. So these are the structures where you're going to get that faraz done. So now because of one person's wrong, or two persons wrong, or a few persons wrong, can you say now that maktab is haram, madrasa is haram, janazah namaz is haram? Can you say that? The confusion comes about. So that will be maintained, but you will try your best to clean the place up from the haram. Is it haram? Is it wrong in the masjid? You won't say, now let's close down the masjid. We'll try our best to clean the masjid from the wrong practices that's taking place. It's wrong, woman and man, men sitting together, right? So we'll try our best to get it out. Right? But we will not abandon the masjid. We'll try our best to move it out. Try one way, second day, third day, but try your best right until the end to remove all the haram. Otherwise, now, where are you going to read your Jummah namaz? Where are you going to read your Faras namaz? How are you going to do it? Now, the wrong here is that you become totally complacent. No, man, everybody needs to move now, and we don't need to fight. Right? We don't need to argue, we don't need to fight. Now, that thinking is wrong. Because as good as it may seem, but it's wrong, right? Both of you all got a dispute, right? It's an estate problem, you got a dispute. So you'll try to resolve it, you can't resolve it, then you go to court, right? So if the judge says, you're always fighting, just leave the fight, don't fight. Will there be any justice? Can there be any justice? There can't be justice. So for your money's sake, you are prepared to go through that fight. But to get to the truth, to get to the right, to get to the farais, and you are struggling, and you say you are fighting. Now that's an extreme. That's wrong. Because you're trying for the right. Right? You're struggling your best to come to the right, but now you say, no, you're fighting, you're breaking the unity of the community. So when you are fighting for your rights, material rights, so when you're breaking the unity there, you're breaking that unity, but you know it's your right, justified right. So this is a faras. When it's a faras, you will fight for it, you will struggle for it. Then whoever wants to say, whatever, let him say it. Whoever wants to say, and whatever he wants to say, let him say it, but you will try your best to bring the faras. That's the essence of the saying of Hasan Basri rahmatullahi. Obviously, you can't move away from this place. You can't. They led the way, and when they led the way, and Rasulullah has endorsed Khairul Quruni Qarni Summa Ladin Yalunahum Summa Ladin Yalunahum. So he's covered the Sahaba and the Tabi'in and the Taba Tabi'in. So he's coming at the level of a Tabi'in, and not just the Tabi'in, the Sayyidu Tabi'in, right? So then he's the precedent, and we are the followers. We just have to move. He says, no, you will do the faras and clean up from the mess that has been made. You clean the mess up, but see that the faras is done. So you see this amanat, right? So when he's presented it to man, then what's required? So amanat is a responsibility, right? What's required of man? Right? So the amanat is a trust, and it's a blessing as well, right? It's a trust, and it's a blessing as well. Like a child in your hands is a blessing, but it's a trust as well, right? Your wife is a blessing, but it's a trust as well. Are you fulfilling your duties and your responsibilities? It's a blessing, it's a calmness, it's a comfort. It prevents you from very wrong, lot of wrong things. But it's a comfort and it's a responsibility, both. So you will enjoy, but you will understand that this is a trust. How do I execute the trust? How do I discharge the trust? Both. You just look at it, no, it's just something to thrill. Just to enjoy yourself, that's wrong. Yes, there are attached responsibilities that go with the blessing. It's a blessing, but it's got responsibilities that are attached. So am I executing those responsibilities or not? So you discharge the trust in the way you have been directed and in the way is expected of you. See? It's a trust, but you discharge the trust in the way that you have been directed and the way it is expected of you. Can you see now I'm saying how I brought this whole topic, right? To learn the correct aqaid, ahkam, akhlaq, muamalat is farz. And then you got structures that will teach you these things. Either the khanqah will teach you, either sohbat will teach you, either the madrasa will teach you, the maktab will teach you, or the jamaat will teach you. So you can't break these structures. Why? They are teaching you the faras. Now, if you examine people's lives, then majority of people who've got their beliefs right, amal right, was somehow linked to the jamaat. Directly or indirectly, they got it. They got their beliefs right, they got the ahkam right. I saw the time when there wasn't a single person wearing a kurta in the masjid. Except the imam, nobody wearing a kurta. Nobody wearing a topi. You come out from the masjid, and the first thing you do, you go for your back pocket, at your comb, you're looking at one of the windows of the masjid, getting your hair right. With that little bit, you know, you must have like a curl here. So I saw all this musti I saw. All this are grey now. Now they can't do that. All the musti. But it was a Jamaat effort that worked. Somehow they went and pulled this person from his house, pulled everybody. They got them. Right? Now, for all that they did now, and if there's a mistake, then we correct them. We'll hit them, we'll smash them, and we'll hit them, we'll correct them. But we'll not stop them. Whatever it is, we'll correct them. Like the child, right, missed a masjid in the madrasa, we pull him out. Well, you hit him, and you send him back to madrasa. Because you know what the madrasa has done for him. So you're not going to stop the work. Yes, you're going to hit him, you're going to smash him down, correct him, do it right. See, there's a whole difference how you're going to attend to this. Otherwise, all the structures will be finished. No structure left for the people to come onto the right. I saw that time. Now, right, not a good thing to say, right? But people whose daughters were going to school, they were wearing shorts. Nearly 100% of them had sleeveless. 100%. I can remember. 60s, early 60s. I remember all that time. Now, you look at those homes, the same homes they got Mulana giving bayans and all that. But now, all these benefits that came up, mainly it was a Jamaat. Then it was supported by Ulama-i Kiram and Busuganati. You don't disregard them. But this whole effort was started by these people here. I saw this time here, and I'm a witness to this thing. I see what was going on. And then I saw the revolution that came up. And now to just abandon this thing here, on account of some few discrepancies, is unfair. And I say this, discrepancies will happen everywhere. Madrasa, maktab, in a magazine, in a radio, everywhere it will happen. You can't tell me that any type of work is free of mistakes. Madrasa will have it, a newspaper will have it, the radio station will have it, everything will have it. Yes, some things we'll condemn outright, right? Like the movies and television, we'll condemn it, right? The radio programs, they must be very, very well controlled. They must be very, very well controlled, right? If they're not controlled, then they will also misdirect people. Some things are supposed to be announced publicly, and some things are supposed to be spoken to personally. Now, if you mix these issues, then there will be no direction. Person is coming to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Ibn Abbas Jalanuma, perhaps Ibn Abbas Jalanuma, and he says, is there any tawbah for murder? No, you'll go to Jahannam. فَجَزَاءُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا رَضِيبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ. Abbas is giving the fatwa, no mafi. Another person comes around with a similar question, says, no, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. A proper tawbah, Allah will forgive you. So one person is telling him what? No tawbah. And the other person, Allah will definitely forgive you. Now they're trying to work it out, what happened here. So the first person who he ruled out that there's no tawbah, he was meditating murder. But he was about to murder someone. Now, Ibn Abbas, if he told him, don't worry, Allah is forgiving, and that person killed 99 persons, Allah forgave him, gee, will that be the right thing for the person? So that, this type of issues, personal, one-on-one. Right? And this second situation, where 99% and then Allah forgave him, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. That is, a person who has already committed the wrong. Now he's on the verge of becoming despaired and despondent. So now, the Quran Sharif is telling him, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. For you, don't worry, the doors of Tawbah are still yet open. But now you're going to open this in a radio program. I see, are you directing people or misdirecting? Are you confusing people or are you clearing their minds? Now, people just want entertainment. You know, the problem in this age is, I want to read an article or to listen to something for entertainment. Now, that's a dangerous thing. Abillahi wa ayatihi wa rasuli kuntum tastahzi'un. You're making a mockery and an entertainment with Allah Ta'ala, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Deen. Is that an entertainment? Is that a sport? When it's about Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul, it's not a sport, it's not an entertainment. Or how this person is getting smashed down, and how he's getting banged down. See, now let's see now. He's getting smashed. He's getting smashed. So that's an entertainment, that's sports. That's not deen that. So if you are listening with that frame of mind, that's wrong. It's corrupt. It's not permissible for you to listen to this, because you want someone to be smashed, you want an entertainment, you want some type of a pastime, for a pastime. The actual frame of mind when you're listening to a deeni program is that إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِيلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. When talks of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul go on, then the hearts are gripped with fear. The hearts are not gripped with entertainment and pleasure and sports. No, no. Now look at what's going on. That now you look at an article on sports. You know, he's catching it. This person is getting it. And what he has to say about this person here. So is it bringing more confusion to your mind, or is giving you some direction? What's happening? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he advised his son Hammad that I don't want you to get into a discussion or into a debate. So his son Hammad is also a great alim, great muhaddis. He said, Abba, but you are getting into debates and you getting into discussions. What about that? So Abu Hanifa rahmatullah replied to his son Hammad, see, when we get into a discussion, then the frame of mind is somehow you must find a reason to prove that you are a Muslim. But somehow you have to find a reason to show that you are still in Islam. And when you are getting into a discussion and a debate, you are looking for an excuse to call the person a kafir, a fajr and a fasiq. So, can you see our frame of mind? Our frame of mind is to save the person, somehow to spur him to a Muslim. And you are longing, you've got a passion to call that person a kafir or a fajr and a munafiq. So the frame of mind, is it right or is it not right? See our frame of mind. We've got a passion, somehow save the person. Alright. There's so many reasons for calling the person a kafir. But there's one reason for calling a Muslim, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt and we'll declare him as a Muslim. That's the fatwa of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. And your people's frame of mind is now somehow prove the person's guilt and show him as a kafir. So you are impassionate about proving the person to be a kafir, a munafiq, a fajr, whatever. So your jazba, your passion, is it right? You're passionate about it. Is that the right thing? So you see this disparity. So anyway, we're coming back to this German auntie story. It's taking too long, right? So she accepted Islam and she says that from now on I'm going to put on the hijab. Islam, but دخل الإيمان في قلبها. And the other person, لم يدخل الإيمان في قلوبهم. Here, دخل الإيمان في قلبها. That Iman went straight into the heart. It went deep into the recess. And what she's saying, no, but from tomorrow, I'm going to work, but a full cover. No compromise. Now she's there in the work, the boss, the whole working environment, they find something alien, something different here. People are passing remarks. The boss called up, you make up your mind, you want to be with us or you want to move away. Why? Because of this dress of yours. No, I will be committed to my way and I am not concerned of what you say. So you lose your job, so well, you are the provider, Allah provides. But you see that Iman went right into the dresses. Imagine now what she's earning. Or 600,000 rand she's earning. And she's just given up the job just because that Iman went deep into the heart. She gave up the way. You lose your job. See that? See that Iman. So that is what we need to strive. This Tablighi Jamaat, that's what they're working. To get that Iman right deep into the heart. When it's in the deep to the heart, then nothing affects you. Then your job, your money doesn't affect you. Why? That Iman has gone deep. Other you're talking of insurance, you're talking of every other thing. Why that Iman is not going deep? If it's going deep, then you don't want to mess around with that Iman. You don't want to play around. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Now, she lost the job. She thought, right? Now, that iman went so deep now. She got a big professional job. See, I need to generate some income. I can work as a maid. Someone's errand here, someone's washing dishes, cleaning the house. I will do that. I can still support myself. But from that position of honor and respect to a menial job, the only thing that can make this happen is your iman. Iman is right, then there's no barrier. There's no barrier. From where she was, and she came right down. And she's happy in what she's doing. Anyway, now, she's got a liking to learn the Quran Sharif. Like every Muslim, learn to learn the Quran Sharif, the basics of Islam. And she couldn't find anybody to give that support. She couldn't find anything. She heard that there's something in Pakistan, so she traveled. Right? But I must know what Allah Pak wants. I must know the deen. So she traveled. However she traveled. Allah Pak knows how she traveled. But she traveled. But it was that imani jazba, that imani spirit that pushed her out from where to where. She learned the Quran Sharif, the things of Islam, etc. She learned a reasonable level. And as she learned all these things here, now the Pakistanis told her, right, you're not going to find a muttaqi husband in America. You rather get settled here, you'll find a muttaqi person, righteous person here, and you'll be able to cope. So no. I owe it to my people there that they need to know about Islam. Right? When they told her, you know, you lose your job, it's all right. Then they asked her also, that what about other Muslims? Other Muslims are not practicing like you are demanding to practice. So her answer was that, see, if others are unfaithful to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I'm not responsible for that. Am I responsible? If they want to be unfaithful to Allah Ta'ala or to His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they don't observe that parda, am I accountable for them not being unfaithful? I am accountable for myself. She learned the deen. And here she returns back to America. She's young, and there's a need to get married. Now she's making Saadul Hajat about Saadul Hajat. Allah Pak give her the right spouse, right partner. Her luck, she hears about one black American, darker than dark, and he's very muttaqi, very, very, very steadfast, loyal, faithful. And he makes a proposal and she readily accepts it. Irrespective of the color, the background, she's got family and friends pressurizing her that you know the choice that you are making. You know the choice that you are making. But you see what iman does. And you see this jamaat effort. This jamaat effort is to get that iman right. Get that yaqeen right. Allah Ta'ala said, hone ka yaqeen, or ghairullah said, na hone ka yaqeen. That Allah Ta'ala is the doer. He'll make it happen. Irrespective of the odds, right? But get that iman right. Now the world is working over everything else. Everything else. This is wrong, that is wrong. But who is working to see that the quality of iman improves? Who is working towards that?